Blog Talk Radio.
Never duplicated. This is the Kitchen Politics 1-3 Radio Show, and it is January 5th, 2023. And tomorrow is the second anniversary of the insurrection on January 6th. This is David Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Cooka in Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and we hopefully have a good show tonight.
Yes, we do have a good show tonight, actually. And the Republicans are proving what jokers they really are. From day one, they've shown how inept and power-hungry they are. They know how to gerrymander and cheat. What they don't know how to do is to govern. What a complete shit show that's happening on Capitol Hill now. As the 118th Congress convenes, it's turned out to be quite a show. Democrats are united, but the Republicans are out of their minds. They've finally lost the script and just off the rails totally. America's done with the hyper-bipartisan garbage. The GOP's pandering to the illiterate base, and the country is suffering because of their stupidity. 20 congresspersons are holding back progress and blocking America's progress and taking us back as they refuse to back Congressman Kevin McCarthy of California, nor anyone who isn't aligned with their constipated, ridiculous philosophy. Who is to blame? Not Joe Biden, not Nancy Pelosi, not Democrats. Trump and McCarthy himself created this monster, and they can't control it now. So, where does America go from here? Thanks for being part of the show. We would love to hear from you and your perspective on what's happening on Capitol Hill in the House of Representatives as a Republican majority refuses to unite on a new speaker and to start working with Democrats to move America forward. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for sharing across social media. We're on Kitchen Politics on Facebook. It's facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. The number to call in, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. But please, if you're going to call in, turn off all televisions and any background noise as it is distracting to us and to the listeners who are listening. So glad you come aboard. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So where do we start, Lori?
Well, a complete shit show. I can't say it any other way. They have shown us that in their speeches, when they are introducing, you know, who they are going to nominate for speaker, the Republicans sound so ridiculous, and they lie straight out that it makes me want to vomit. I have to listen to them say they talk about securing the border. They talk about immigration. They talk about raising wages. They talk about health care. They have voted no for everything that is good for this country. And now they have the guts to stand up there and want a speaker that has kowtowed to President Trump. He's made every rotten deal that there is to make with the Freedom Caucus, and God knows what he promised everybody, and he wants to be Speaker of the House. Shame on the Republican Party. May they die in flames.
Yes. And even after all this groveling to the MAGA people, Kevin McCarthy, he still won't get the votes from these 20 people. And even if he does eventually get the speakership chair, he's powerless in that position. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. As Einstein once said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And it's very upsetting while reading that the tally for the 12th vote now, the 12th ballot, the clerk used the word honorable in front of the name of the insurrectionist leader. You know, this was an insult to the whole of America. I mean, you know, the crap that's going on now, you know, and Democrats are united as they're backing Jeffries as new minority leader, which is good.
Yeah.
And history will judge these clowns harshly. You know, truths are stranger than fiction, and this is crazy. This is nuts. I mean, what the hell is happening here? I want a right-wing person, a conservative, a Republican to call in and give their perspective, because the fact that it can go on for 12 ballots now, and the fact that you don't even have a House member to be Speaker shows how many flaws that there is in the system and in the Republican leadership and the freedom. When I say freedom, I don't mean F-R-E-E-D-O-M, but free, F-R-E-E, dumb, as in D-U-M-B.
Yep.
You know, I mean, what the hell is happening on Capitol Hill? And again, Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and Chip Roy shame themselves again, yet again. The idiot child molester and rapist Matt Gaetz nominated Donald Trump. That got one vote. So that says a lot about where his powers lie. You know, McCarthy put all his bets and all his eggs in one basket after he spoke to Liz Cheney. And, you know, he was saying, oh, we should, you know, impeach him and ask him to resign. The very next day, Congressman McCarthy went to Mar-a-Lago and literally kissed the ring of Donald Trump.
You know?
So it's madness going on. You know, the craziest car in the shot now. They're running mental asylum, the crazy people, the 20 people, you know. And, you know, I want to hear from you, America. Bob Shai. We're not a bite. You know, call in and tell us your perspective. We don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Communist, Socialist, whatever, man. Just call in, especially from a right-wing person. I want to hear your perspective.
I would like to know what kind of deals McCarthy has, you know, cut in order to get votes, because I'm afraid that some of them are dangerous to the country and to our institution, more than anything else, that let's put it this way. If you lose a game, you can lose a game and say, okay, let's play again. You know, let's go two out of three, you know, and we're on a roll. But my God, it's been 11 times now, and no one has moved. No one has moved or decided to do anything else. My question is, why don't the Democrats go over and try to convince a few of the moderate Republicans to maybe vote for Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries?
Because that will never happen. It's too politically polarizing in America right now for that to ever happen. These Republicans are hardliners. These people have different factions, and the moderate wing of the Republican Party is pretty much dead. That will never happen.
What I'm trying to say is, if the speeches that they have put out, if they are telling the truth, then that's what they would be doing right now. That's my point. They have not crossed the aisle. And I don't want Democrats. I do not want Democrats to cross the aisle. I want the Republicans to cross the aisle and say, look, we'll join forces because we care about the country. We are the ones, we are the four or the five or the six that care about the country and want to move it forward. We will put our you know, pedal to the metal, and we will work bipartisanship. That is what I want to see. But I know that is wishful thinking. I know that it will not happen. And you're right. The definition of insanity is to vote 11 times and still tomorrow, he's not going to give up tomorrow either. He will not. I don't know what he has in his head. What is the reason that he wants it so bad? He's been around for 14 years now. He could go home to California and sit on his butt and drink margaritas, okay? That's what he could do. Why is this so important to Kevin McCarthy? What is it that is making him dig in his heels and not budge?
I have a theory. Reason being, Kevin McCarthy don't want to step down from public humiliation because the Freedom Caucus, you know, is controlled by the Koch brothers. And what the Koch brothers trying to do basically is, you know, usurp the power of government, you know, close out Social Security, cut Medicare and Medicaid. And if any one of those Freedom Caucus people get elevated to Speaker of the House or anywhere in a leadership, you can bet your last dollar that's what they're going to go after, the social programs and trying to, you know, get rid of Social Security or privatize it yet again, which is a fear. What Hakeem Jeffries needs to do is go to see Kevin McCarthy and talk to him one-on-one and offer him the 212 votes for Speaker of the House on one single condition, that McCarthy takes away 100% of his concessions off the table and agree to totally sideline the seditious caucus, the Freedom Caucus. That's the only way we can move forward, you know, because...
Yeah. But that's not going to happen either. That's not going to happen either. Because then, you know, heads will roll. You know, heads will roll. That won't happen. And that's a very good idea. I you know, it's just like I said, you know, going across the aisle, you know, a few Republicans walk across and say, hey, you know, but no, you know, that's not what they're about to do. I think Jeffries, maybe he could talk to him, but who could trust him now at this point? Who could trust McCarthy at this point? Even if he said, okay, I will do that. I will do that. I will put 100, you know, I will take back everything that I said that I would deal with, you know, have made deals with. We won't do any of those deals. Who could trust him? Not me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust him.
And who can even trust the GOP? You know, they're not a part
that's
of honesty.
That's what I mean.
I mean, you know, look on George Santos, for example. This rat bastard, who was born in Brazil, you know, came to America as a young child. And on that application for U.S. citizenship, the point blank asks you, have you ever been convicted or have you ever gotten in trouble with the law? And at the time, he was fleeing Brazil because what he did, his mother was a caretaker. And, you know, who she was caretaking for? George Santos, her son, stole these the checkbook from the man, wrote bad checks, wrote check to buy sneakers and everything. And so the authorities in Brazil want him, you know, and they just put out that they want him back in Brazil to stand trial for what he did and for fleeing the country. You know, so he lied on his application. That should disqualify him from being a citizen. Because if any other person did that, you know, that would have been reported like yesterday. You know,
you better
and
believe it.
The honorable thing to do is resign, but George Santos won't do that. So I'm glad to report that I have friends and associates in New York who's organizing a petition, and hopefully will be out soon, the petition, to recall George Santos. Because George Santos is a lying sack of crap who does not belong in Congress.
Point blank. Absolutely. Yeah. And he has a sister, by the way. And he has a sister. Her name is Tiffany Santos. And she reportedly owes $40,000 in unpaid rent, despite receiving $30,000 in federal rent assistance and tens of thousands of dollars from a political action committee. So The new question surrounds the finances and living situation of dishonest gay rep elect George Santos, as records reveal that his sister, Tiffany Santos, is facing eviction over nearly $40,000 in allegedly unpaid rent for the New York City apartment where she and her brother recently lived. In April 2020, during the start of the COVID downs nationwide, New York City suspended evictions for unpaid rent. In May of 22, the owners of the sister's apartment building terminated her lease, saying she owed tens of thousands in due rent, according to the court records viewed by the Daily Beast. Her apartment, located in Elmhurst, Queens, cost $2,050 a month, is rent stabilized, and has housed her and two other people to date. She allegedly owes $40,000 in unpaid rent, even though in July she received $30,000 for the Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program to help cover the cost. So what is it with these people? What is it with these people?
Yeah, they're just dishonest. And, you know, speaking of owing money, if he owed $40,000 in rent, you know, and he claimed that he borrowed $700,000 to finance his campaign, that's obviously a lie. Another lie. So he lied on the financial reports that every campaign on the federal level, on every level you're running for, you have to say where those monies come from, even if it's from a PAC or a super PAC. You know, so if you can't afford rent, you know, how can you loan your campaign money, which is $700,000? That don't add up.
Exactly.
So the question is, where did George Santos get the money?
Yeah.
Is it the Koch brothers?
Yeah.
Who? Who?
Who knows?
You know?
You know.
And at the rate things going on now, you know, if whoever becomes Speaker of the House, it would, the irony wouldn't slip me if I put someone like George Santos on an ethics committee. Hell, make him goddamn chairman. You know, this is why we can't have nice things in America. Because Republicans say, oh, we're the family values party. Oh, we believe in God and hallelujah, and the gays, the LGBTQ are evil. You know, they're eating your babies. They're shut the fuck up, people. Wake up, South. Wake up, Bible Belt. Stop voting for these morons because they don't care about America. They don't care about you. It's like they cannot learn. It's like, you know, there's some sadists in the Republican Party that vote for them, the base. You know, the vote against their own economic interests. And when Republicans slap them, they have the nerve to blame Democrats. Like, ooh, slap me, master. Oh, that feels nice. Mm-hmm. Please, can I have another? You know, that's the behavior they're showing. You know, it's sickening. And it's tiresome. And the majority of Americans, you know, they deserve better than this.
And not only that, we are tired. We are sick and tired of a few people, a few of these radical loon birds, because they're not normal in the brain. There is something wrong with them. They're power hungry. Marjorie Taylor Greene is like a ranting, I don't know, sociopath. Bobard is on the other side. She's ranting back and forth. It's ridiculous. Who are they? They're nobody. They don't have an education. They're no one. They don't know anything about laws. They don't know how to write a law. They don't know how to write a bill. Clue about anything. But yet they have the biggest mouth. They have the biggest mouth. And it's disgusting.
Exactly. You know, and ever since the Reagan Revolution, the phrase big government has always been on the lips of Republican politicians, far and wide, no matter what level they're running. And to utter it like a curse at every opportunity they get, you know, oh, big government, big government. So what's more big government than trying to stop abortion? If a woman say, hey, because of health concerns, I need an abortion, or, you know, for whatever reasons, between she and her doctor and whichever diet she believe in, whether God or Allah or Buddha or whoever, you know?
Yeah.
What's more big government than trying to get in a woman's womb? You know, so they need to shut the hell up with this thing, you know, about big government. And it seems, you know, paradoxically, Republicans complain about big government, but then they go and support more and more government money for expanding prisons, the prison industrial complex and blow up in the Pentagon budget. I mean, look on the Pentagon budget now. The defense budget is like near $1 trillion, you know?
Exactly.
And once you understand their worldview, it makes perfect sense.
That's not big government. I know.
You know?
It's ridiculous. But
these warmongers, you know, these war horrors, that's what they are, you know?
Yes, they are.
From the very founding of our republic through the early...
Go ahead.
Yeah, all I've got to say is from the founding of our republic through the early 1930s, the American middle class was relatively small. It was almost entirely made up of professionals and mercantile class, the doctors, the lawyers, the shop owners, you know, and people like those. Only a tiny percentage of Americans were what we would call today middle class. So factory workers, farmers, carpenters, plumbers, and pretty much all manner of unskilled laborers were the working poor rather than the middle class. So, you know, most neighborhoods across America had a quality of life even lower than what it is today, and we would call those ghettos. You know, so as recent as 1900, for example, women couldn't vote. Senators were appointed by the wealthiest power brokers in the state, and poverty stalked America. And now they want to go back and say, oh, you know, let's give states, you know, the right, the freedom, you know, states' right. No, shove that states' rights up your ass, because the Civil War was about state rights. That's one of the reasons why we went to Civil War. And the South lost. Get over it. We're not going back. You know, and had Abraham Lincoln lived, you know, the Reconstruction era would see such a big change in how America run today, you know, and because the president after him, Andrew Johnson, was such a vile, racist, disgusting pig, you know, who was impeached, you know, but fell short of one vote, of kicking him out of office and putting him in prison, you know. You know, but you know, the racism, the systematic racism in America... That's why we can't go forward, because we have to address things like that, you know, address women's rights, health care for all, you know, things like that.
You
but
know,
no, Republicans refuse.
The other thing that I think about, you know, they keep talking about the open border and that the liberals just take all these people in and, you know, and they're murderers and they're thieves and they have the fentanyl and all this stuff. But have they done anything? Have they compromised? Have they done anything to help at the border besides complain? How are they going to tackle that border? How are they going to tackle it? It's thousands of people. How are they going to tackle it? They have no clue. The only thing, the only clue they have is to complain about the border. The open border, and that's all they have to say about it. If you talk to somebody, I have a friend, every time we get into a mild discussion, she talks about the open border and all the people that are flooding into this country because they're seeking asylum. That's what America is for. That's what she promised. And then the Republicans sit there and say, oh, do we have an open border? We can't have an open border. Well, what the hell? Then do something about it. Do something about
added
it.
Added to which, the reason why these Central Americans are coming into America in droves like this, allegedly, is because back in the 1970s and 80s, you have to remember that Reagan and Bush, the CIA director, and you know, then vice president afterwards, they led proxy wars and caused destabilization of these countries, you know? And even though, like, for example, a perfect example is Ecuador. Was it Ecuador? In Chile, when Allende was murdered by the CIA. Gerald Ford was president then, you know. And, you know, they put in their, you know, person, Augusto Pinochet. And all agreed, Democrat or Republican, said, Pinochet is a son of a bitch. Well, at least he's our son of a bitch that could control him and everything. So what Pinochet did was murder a lot of people, the 30,000 feet in the plane, and throw people out without a parachute, and a lot of missing people. Up to this day, they can't find no skeleton or nothing. Because Pinochet murdered his opponents, and America and Great Britain and the EU and most of Europe supported Pinochet. You know, so when this big mass immigration happening now, it's not Democrats' fault. It's your own shitty policies, Republicans. And take the, you know, take responsibility for what you cause. Anyway, we'll have a call.
They take no responsibility for anything. Go ahead.
No, and I was saying about, blame Democrats because, and there's, the well-twisted machinery, the well-oiled machine of, like the propaganda.
Organize. How do we organize unions? How do we have public good public schools, Medicare, Social Security? How do we have all of that? This was all negotiated. This is all democracy. I am sick and tired of Republicans lying day in and day out. If there's anything that they say that's the truth, I would be so happy and I would spread the word. But they say no truth. There is nothing that comes out of their mouth that's viable and truthful and worth listening to. They are just this group. It started with the Tea Party when Boehner was in office. It started with him, and it just mushroomed into this horrible, hellish group of people that are hell-bent on destroying our democracy and our country. That's what they want.
Exactly. And, it's like they're so repugnant and vile and disgusting. You know, even Fox News was wondering what the hell is happening, And it's a good time now to put Liz Cheney in the mix because, that's the only way we can overcome this, ballot after ballot after ballot because Kevin McCarthy, for no reason, will step down and, trying to get the speakership job. And like hell, Republicans will not elect a Freedom Caucus moron, an idiot, crazy person, in a speaker because they're a little bit in a court brothers and whichever big corporation there is. So I think this person holding on too long now. Remember callers, call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from, and please turn off the television sets and, so we're not having a background noise. Quite distracting to us and listeners. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Hi, it's Susan. I finally got a voice back.
Hi, Susan.
Yes, hey. Glad you're better.
I can actually talk, I think. I was, read the same articles you did, and I'm really pissed about the Freedom Caucus because that's strictly Dave Koch's stuff. And it's already happening. You know it's happening because they want to abolish the Postal Service. Look who's running the Postal Service and what he did to it. And I am surprised he's still there. He's got to be gone. They want to repeal the minimum wage law. They want separation of education and state, right? They really don't want the government to support schools. They want it private pay. And they want to not support the colleges also. And they even don't want compulsory education laws, like you got to go to school till you're 16. They want, and then they want to repeal the EPA and the Department of Energy. The oil fields, those pipelines that leak all over the place, the ones that are underneath the bridge in Michigan, it's going to break any time now. They want to eliminate that, and they're fighting for it. I mean, it's big corporation wants to take over our government. They're there. They bought and pay for our Congress, and that's what's happening. And it just pisses me off.
I know.
It's just like one thing after another that they want to get rid of. I mean, welfare and tax-supported services. They don't want the Medicare, the Medicaid. Oh, they even want to get the insurance company's regulation. They want to have private pay on Medicare. And, the Medicare Advantage is bullshit right now. They're just screwing the people that own it. You cannot go out of your program. You pay more for everything that they already have there. And they want to make it worse. So it's happening now. And we got to do something about it. We got to stop the Republicans because they're ruining us.
The fact that the Democrats were willing to work tirelessly throughout the night and come to a resolution with this about voting and electing a new leader. The Republicans were ready to go home and getting to bed until, you know, that tell you a lot about where the priorities of the Republicans stand, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, about four or five people tonight, for example, shouted, you know, no, let's resolve this no to the adjournment, you know, mm-hmm. but Republicans were like, yay, you could hear them screaming and everything.
Yeah, they want to go out for drinks. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, is this a joke to them? Tell me. Is this a joke to them?
Yeah, and you know, like that stupid Santos guy, where'd he get that $700,000? And why is he even sitting in the Congress? Why?
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
a crook, like they all are. They are getting money, hush money, the dark money. They're not open about what they're doing. And once they get in office, they're bought and paid for by the lobbyists, you know, the big pharma. I mean, there's no reason insulin should be $300-$400 a vial when it only takes $15 to make it. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
And
yep.
yet they're still mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to just talk a second about this Freedom Caucus, a little bit of history about it. It's the House of Representatives is generally considered to be the most conservative and farthest right bloc within the House Republican mm-hmm. Congress. It was founded mm-hmm. in January 26th of 2015. The chairman is Scott Perry. The national affiliation is the Republican Party. It split from the Republican Study Committee. The founders, Jim Jordan, Ron DeSantis, Mark Meadows, Justin Amash, Mike Mulvaney, Scott Garrett. Let's see who else is on here. Raul Labrador, John Fleming, and Matt Salmon. Now, they are mm-hmm. all part of the Freedom Caucus. I really never paid a whole lot of attention to it, but I'm going to now because it seems like they have more power than I ever thought. And Ron DeSantis is another one that's in it. I don't know if I mentioned his name, but he is in it
yes,
as
you
well.
Yes, did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, he's a slime bucket too.
Yes, he
and
is.
And you know, they're all bought and paid for. I wish we could follow the money. I wish we could find out where, how they got in, who paid for them to get in, and who's keeping them there. Then we would find out where the rats are.
Yeah, yeah
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of them that are yeah. in that free caucus are, of course, against Speaker McCarthy. Well, I can't say DeSantis because he's not part of that. He's governor of Florida, but still, you know that he is. And I would bet that he is. I can't say for sure, but I would bet that he is, being that he's part of that.
What he did today,
you know,
he wanted to, he's got a lawsuit or an investigation going on with the colleges that are teaching, you know, critical mm-hmm. race theory because it's a law mm-hmm. class, mm-hmm. and he wants to find out who's teaching it. I mean, Jesus Christ, he's got a mess in Florida, right? The hurricanes, it's still a wreck.
Yep.
And he's worried about that?
Yep.
I don't understand the people of Florida voting for that asshole.
Yeah, for real. And, you know, instead of having a 12th vote tomorrow for House Speaker, maybe they should have just face painting for the kids that's there, you know, like the grandkids
yep.
and kids of these members. Because it's just
the kids probably could vote
show.
Better than them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Matt Gaetz, for example, is behaving like a 4-year-old. It's time to throw his ass out. You know, that's the only way
yep.
he can shut up. You know, what an embarrassment
yep.
for the serious Republicans who want to get things done or claim they want to get
and
things done.
And isn't that pathetic
yeah.
that you got Green, Bobart, and Gaetz speaking up, the worst scumbag
yep.
there?
Yeah.
I don't
right?
get it.
And you know, it's frightening that if Marjorie Taylor Greene is the voice of reason, then that's scary as shit, man. What kind of woman is off her rockers? You know?
And Bobart, too. And then
yeah.
Gaetz,
oh, yeah.
child
I mean,
molester.
She, yeah,
oh my God.
But Bobart is dumb. She's like, you know, a scary dumb, like an emo girl. Like, oh, my God, you know, those types. Yeah, but
yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is more, what's the word for it? I don't know. But, you know, she's
crazy.
More scarier because she's vindictive, crazy, and she get the right people to, like, you know, correlate around her, you know, to destroy shit.
Well,
you know, so
you know, the,
in that term, in that sense, she's smarter than Boebert. Boebert is an idiot. You know, we're still at all where, you know, she had to do her GED 3 times. I mean, who can pass a GED test? Come on, now. And we'll have a woman like her sitting in Congress making laws or voting on things she knows nothing about. Good Lord, this country is in trouble. We're going down toilet. We're going to hell in a basket.
Look who ran for the Republican Party, that box, that football player, Walker. I mean, they had idiots, and they got idiots in there, and that Santos guy. I mean, that's all they got? You know they're like puppets on a string. Who's pulling the string is what I want to know.
Exactly. Exactly. And speaking about Marjorie Greene, I have something here. Did you hear about the conflict you're having with Alex Alexander? He is a QAnon crazy person as well, and he called her a whore, and she should get the hell out of Washington, and he's going to make a fan to the ethics committee once this thing going on. So far-right commentator Alex Alexander erupted in a misogynistic rant against Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, claiming he would have the Representative Greene brought on criminal charges and expelled from Congress. So, you know, he hasn't said publicly what it is, but this is a 3-minute clip of his rant, and David Schuster reported, and I hope it plays through clearly. Here it is.
I will not suffer this harlot. That is January 6th organizer Ali Alexander talking about Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Alexander is infuriated that Greene supports Kevin McCarthy for House Republican Speaker, and on a Telegram live stream, Alexander had a misogynistic meltdown. I will not be taught vows and loyalty, commitment from a whore.
Oops.
You have got me mistaken for some damn fool, and a fool, Ali Alexander, has never been called.
Yes, you have.
Ali Alexander, a MAGA activist, has been called a fool. But never mind that. In this greed, he vowed he would soon publicly reveal that Greene broke the law. In the coming days, I'm going to reveal that Marjorie Taylor Greene, in my summation and the summation of lawyers, committed a crime. That crime is going to be handed to the state of Georgia. And the state of Georgia will decide whether they adjudicate that crime or not. Alexander did not elaborate on the nature of the alleged crime, but he said there should be serious consequences. The House Ethics Committee and House Rules must expel Marjorie Taylor Greene when this evidence comes to light. Oh, go home. I am done with you. You are lukewarm. I am spitting you out of my mouth. You played me and no more. Yes, he just called her a hoe and said he is spitting her out of his mouth. Everyone will know about your drunken night because the consultants who have drunk with you will have to choose whether they fear me or whether they fear you. And they fear me, Mark. If you are keeping score, Ali Alexander called Marjorie Taylor Greene a harlot, a whore, a hoe, a drunk, and a criminal who should be prosecuted in Georgia and kicked out of Congress. And to think Republican rhetoric towards Democrats is extreme. Good grief. When Republicans turn on each other, it is literally like watching a group of animals eat their young. Anyway, there have always been stories floating around Washington, D.C. about members of Congress having boozy late-night soirees with consultants and lobbyists. In fact, through the years, some lawmakers have joked that in Congress there are so many late-night events involving alcohol that getting sloshed is as normal as attending a committee assignment. But Marjorie Taylor Greene has not had any committee assignments the past 2 years because of her previous QAnon claims and threats to execute Democrats. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has promised to change Greene's status, and Greene has been steadfast in her support of McCarthy as Speaker. But most members and supporters of the right-wing Freedom Caucus detest McCarthy. They think he's a jerk personally and that he cannot be trusted politically. And they see Greene's establishment play with McCarthy as a huge betrayal. So the nastiness and unhinged misogynistic rhetoric is getting worse. As Ali Alexander just reinforced, and with apologies to Shakespeare, hell hath no fury like conservative lunatics scourged. I'm David Schuster. Thanks for joining us.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene, ever since the word, is a whore. She's a political whore. She's a whore because her husband is about to divorce her. When she was at a gym or owned some gym, she had some relationships with different patrons at the gym. Cheating on her husband. I mean, to each his and her own. I don't want to play God. I'm far from not being a sinner. But when somebody run on family values and principles, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, she is so the opposite of that. And these fools keep voting for people like her. So she's a whore in every sense of the word. And I'm not talking about any talk. She's a filthy, slamming, disgusting whore. What do you think about it, ladies?
Oh, no, I can't stand her. She's nuts.
I can't stand her.
And that guy really ripped her a new one.
And he
was
right.
But there's so many more to go.
I agree.
Exactly.
And I agreed with everything that he said. So I just want to read who the far right a list of the 20 Republicans who voted against McCarthy, just so we know their names. And they are the hard right. They're the hard right. We know that. And some of them are ultra conservative from the Freedom Caucus, And so anyway, so it's Andy Biggs, Arizona, Dan Bishop, North Carolina, Lauren Boebert, Colorado, Michael Cloud, Texas, Andrew Clyde, Matt Gaetz, Bob Good, Paul Gosar, Andy Smith, Mary Miller, Ralph Norman, Scott Perry, Matt Rosendale, Chip Roy, Byron Donalds, he got some votes for the speakership, not many. Josh Breachin, Eli Crane, Andy Ogles, Annalena Luna, and Keith Self. Now, out of those, there were 12 that denied the election results of the 2020 election. That was Biggs, Bishop, Boebert, Gaetz, Good, Gosar, Miller, Perry, Crane, Ogles, Luna, and Self. It just goes to show you what we have. It's crazy. So they all voted against McCarthy. And that's Anna Paulina Luna of Florida. She's a Luna already. Mm-hmm. Luna in Italian means crazy, by the way. She's one of the 5 newcomers who opposed McCarthy. She said he definitely won the election and it was stolen. She called it, and she said that ringleaders against Mr. McCarthy bid have also called the 2020 election stolen. It's just disgusting. And out of those 20 that I just named, 19 of them are associated with the Freedom Caucus. So think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Biggs, Bishop, mm-hmm. Boebert, Cloud, Clyde, Gaetz, Good, Gosar, Harris, Miller, Donald, Roy, Rosendale, Perry, and Norman. All of them are associated with the Freedom Caucus. These are the people that are asking for the outlandish demands of McCarthy, and Lord knows what they are.
I know former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she told Kevin McCarthy to be careful what you wish for, and say he, bend over backwards for these MAGA idiots, and he dug his wall, and after a day after the insurrection, he went to Donald Trump, Mar-a-Lago, wherever, Mar-a-Lago, hotel, or whatever the fuck you want to call that ugly place, him dig him hole, no, he must lie in it, So Jen Psaki was right. Jen Psaki publicly warned him, be careful what you wish for because Trump is not a good person. He tried to play both sides. I know he's getting burned. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
I'm hating it because, in a sense, it's hurting America, helping Democrats. But at the same time, America deserves better than this, you know? And thank you, people, for voting Republican and putting in these idiots, because this is what you get, you know?
Yeah.
You hire, you vote for clowns, expect the circus. It's ridiculous,
yeah.
And I hope you're happy. And I don't want anybody to come and say, oh, you don't blame Democrats. God, this is not Democrats' fault, you know? You know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, these people. Very damn ridiculous. Call in 515-605-9802. That's the number you call. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Mommy.
Hello, how you doing? Yes, you're on.
Oh, hi,
Kathy.
How are you, David? Hi, Lori. Hi, David.
Hi.
I was enjoying listening to your program.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but 100% agree totally with everything
yeah.
the caller was talking about. I
yeah.
just think, you know, I really, really, truly didn't expect anything more from him. But I've never seen anything so ridiculous as this.
No.
And it just proves, it drives it home, you know. Don't they realize the what is it they say when the spectacle of it? It just proves
it is something
to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just like, what did anybody expect? I mean, it's just, I think it's fabulous, really. I mean, I hate to see it go without a government, but to me, it's just like icing on the cake. They didn't have their red wave, and they only got picked up a few places, and it's come back to bite them in the butt. But I talked to Lori last night for a minute. I wanted to talk to you about something totally different. I suggested to her that I had seen something on TV every once in a while, not very often, with Matthew McConaughey, the actor, where he's marching, looks like he's marching downtown streets of New York City with a bunch of people following him. And he's got on a light robin's egg blue, baby blue a suit and a white shirt with his tan face. And he's talking about nothing, really. And I watched it again last night and found out that it was like a PSA for a group called Team Earth, suggesting that McConaughey is behind a grassroots movement for climate change or something connected remotely to that. But then I couldn't help but think back to 2014 and 2015 of the way that Trump entered into politics was something that would grab the attention of everybody, and at the time it was the birther thing with the birth certificate. But the whole spectacle of this PSA and the clap that goes on and everything, and I know that McConaughey has dabbled in Texas politics. I think he was, did he run for governor or senator or something from
He wanted to run for governor, the Republican nomination.
Was it governor?
I thought
that odd when he did it. But all I could think of when I see this thing on TV is he's reading from the Trump playbook on how to sway people. Because everybody who knows anything about the movies that McConaughey has been in, they seem to adore him. And I do. I did. I still do. But he's a Republican, and I can trust a Republican just about as far as I could throw one. He's taken a page out of Trump's playbook, and I think he might be trying to pull some name recognition into a global warming subject that we all care a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Though we can't come to a consensus of what to do about it.
You know, he has said that, you know, he would consider running for president in 2024. I mean,
why?
You know, why? I mean, honestly and truly. I remember, though, when the Uvalde thing happened. Remember the Uvalde? And I know him and his wife went there, and they were very helpful, and they showed a lot of compassion and sorrow, and I did like that. But for him to run for president, no, there's so many other things that he could do. If he's really interested in climate change and helping with the environment, then, you know, form a pack or something and start doing some good work. I mean, do it that way. Why does everyone want to be president? Every time.
Shouldn't he get experience by lower offices, like local, state first, before you try to run the damn country?
Right.
Come on.
Why does every time
look what happened to the wannabe orange monster.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have no experience. You're an actor. Okay. You know, you're a human right. I'm for human rights. I want climate change. I want all the things that everyone else wants, but I know in my heart I couldn't run for president. Come on. I mean, what gives these people the gall to think that they can run for president because of who they are, because of their name? I'm sorry.
Even the local offices. You got to read legal forms all the time. The bills are legalese. If they, like you said, what's-her-face didn't get a GED, how the hell is she supposed to read the bills that are going through and understand them and their consequences?
Yeah, their aides are probably smarter than them, and they probably tell them what they're saying. They probably read them to them. Who knows?
Well, you know? The lobbyists tell them what to do as they are being bribed.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why so many of them are lawyers from the beginning.
You have to be at least that, and then you have to know, you know, jurisdictions and laws and everything else. Just off the street, you cannot run for national office. It's bad enough just doing a county commission thing.
Yeah, you know,
I think it's comical the judges that Trump appointed. And they come back to kick him in the rear end down in Florida and his appointed judges.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was a situation that should be brought to people's attention about McConaughey. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's talked about it. He has talked about it, you know, but
all
like
he
I said.
Is money.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that
they,
is
have
the problem.
No, they have no problem with just spending lots and lots of millions of dollars for with no
experience
possibility whatsoever.
Like the heads of the third world countries, Venezuela, Colombia, all the people that are running up to the United States because they took all the money and ruined their countries and the people are escaping.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Just because you're in office doesn't make you good.
No.
Exactly. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. We're going to introduce somebody else, but yeah, make your point that you're making. You mean to cut you right there.
That off, you guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Valid, you know, a valid question, and I agree with you. And who knows what's going to happen in 2024?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye now.
That was Kathy from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, say first name where you're calling from, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid, and we're cooking tonight, man. This is an interesting show. Welcome, Carla, from Michigan. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Lori. Hello, Susie. Hi, David.
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Alrighty.
I'm listening to you guys. You know what? I'm like, want to jump on that Lori bandwagon about, you know what, if you want to get involved, do what, get on global warming. He needs to hook up with Leonardo DiCaprio, who is really an advocate for this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. He is. He is very pro planet, and he wants to see it last.
Absolutely.
So,
and
that's where my kind of hate.
Yeah, you know, and that's what bothers me about these people is that they have all this money, they don't know how to spend it, but they want to be president.
They do.
Give me a break, okay? Give me a break. Do the work first. Prove yourself. That's what I say.
Well, he's got Governor Kemp. He's got Abbott for a governor. What has he really learned?
Yeah.
True.
No.
I mean, if you really, like, step out of the circle and look in, take a look. That's what the problem is. That's why Congress can't get nothing done for the last 3 days, 4 days.
Well, one other thing that the Republicans and the Freedom Caucus is doing is starting at the local level. School boards, health boards, local commissions and stuff. That's where they're rattling the cages and trying to get their 2 cents in to change there. And then they're going to the state level, the national. But that's where they started. And around here, it was good that the Democrats won. But that's what they're trying to do. And we got, you know, people have to get in on the ground floor. They have to know what the hell's going on around here locally before they can have a say in the national. I mean, because if you don't know what's happening, you know, and they can ruin things, you know, the local school laws, health laws, like what happened during COVID, you know, they were attacking the health department and the school boards and everything. I mean, that's where the crazies come out, and they keep on going up the ladder. So we need to, if people want to get involved, they need to get involved local first, learn the ropes, know what's going on, and then go from there.
Do
the work.
Do you think there should be term limits? Because, you know, when shit like this happening, that is happening now, people saying maybe we should have term limits because, you know, people in there like Chip Roy and Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, since he's been in there, have not made any bills. You know, he is just a talker, really. You know, he hasn't put through any substantial bill. You know, so I mean, we need term limits. What do you think about that, Lori?
Oh yeah, I'm for term limits. I think
Doesn't Michigan have term limits? You can't go on forever. It's so many years, like 8 years for Senate or something.
Terms, I'm not sure, but I am for term limits because
they get too comfortable
in their chairs. They're too cushy in their chairs. They make too many buddies in their chairs. And the work gets done in their chairs. That's how I feel about that.
Because
more money that rolls into their pockets from the, you know, the different power brokers, you know, that's where they lean on voting to keep in office. Mm-hmm. And it's all wrong. It's set up wrong.
Mm-hmm. And added to which, after the congressperson or the U.S. senator finish, whether either they get beaten for re-election or the choose to retire, these same special interest groups, it's like a revolving door on Capitol Hill. Oh, you serve your time, you're retiring, or you get beaten. Oh, come work for us for millions of dollars. You know?
I
so
thought
the whole
they wanted to put a cap on that, like 6 years. It would be about 6 years before you could work for anybody as a lobbyist.
Yeah, but that's
how
they
wanted
to
pass it, but who knows? They probably didn't, you know?
Yeah, no, whether Democrats or Republican, and that way do it because it does serve their interests. You know.
Exactly, like the transparency on the investments.
Same crap, different day.
It's so frustrating.
It is frustrating, especially when they get voted in and the first thing they worry about is how to get elected to the next election.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where they it just, and it keeps going and going. And that's what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
They're working
on I know,
next
they could vote
election.
The rules, you know, like you can only raise so much money. You can't take money from dark money and big super PACs and all that. But they won't change the laws because that cut their feet off, right?
Yeah,
and
because
so
one Democrat, I think he was from North Carolina, put through this bill. It was in conference committee where, you know, they should open to say where dark money comes from, you know, because when you have super PACs, you know, they are protected by law saying that, you know, the super PAC don't have to tell you where the money come from. So it could be coming from China. It could be coming from Russia. It could be coming from Timbuktu, you know, and it's
special
unlimited
interest.
Champion funds, you know, and we should cut that out. We should, you know, but the bill even passed conference committee. I doubt it, you know, because that's a bill that should have been passed. You know, and God help us that it's not even going, like all the Republicans have the House majority, it's not going to go anywhere because Republicans bank and super PACs, you know, that give unlimited money and God knows where that money comes from.
It was in the 1970s when my husband had his company. I remember that one of the politicians came around and wanted a donation. The most his factory could give them was $2,400. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell happened?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell happened? The law was
Citizens
there.
United. Citizens
United.
What
happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Put everything up.
There's one more thing that I want to bring up another thing because this Freedom Caucus, I don't know, the way I'm starting to understand it, they're very dangerous. And they have also released an outline of reforms that they're seeking over the summer, following it up with a memo directed at incoming lawmakers, warning them how little power they'd have under the centralized status quo. On Wednesday, the group saw many of its ideas taken seriously. Now, this has gone over to you-know-who. As Republicans began sifting through a list of 24 specific proposed changes to the conference rules. I don't think they're all listed here, but I'm just going to go over what it says just a little bit. It says, among their proposals are ones that would place more members unaffiliated with the speaker onto the House Republican Steering Committee, and this decides the committees that the GOP members can join. Let the entire Republican conference pick who sits on the powerful rules committee rather than the speaker. Re-implement a majority of the majority rule that would prevent any bills coming to the floor that didn't have the support of most Republicans. At least some of those wishes, like expanding the steering committee, are likely to come true. Other proposals include a prohibition on earmarks, a ban on suspending the rules, a fast-track procedure on bills with price tags over $100 million, and requirement to pass spending bills before the fiscal year begins, or else no legislation can be heard on the floor. I mean, these are some of the things that, you know, they kind of want to unravel what we have, you know, the rules that we have. And they want to kind of start, you know, seems like they want to start over. And he also said Republicans nominated McCarthy for speaker this week by a relatively tight margin. He earned 188 votes, while 31 members preferred the former Freedom Caucus Chair Andy Biggs. I mean, really? Andy Biggs? You know, this is what I'm saying. They're so extreme. You know.
I know. Where's the Democrats? Can't they fight this?
I don't know. I mean, this
they're just bulldozing it through.
What I'm understanding from this, these are things that they want in order to vote for McCarthy.
Give McCarthy his vote.
That can cause harm and more fighting. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it gives Republicans more power. That's what it looks
yeah.
like to
you
me.
Know what, you know what I'm wishing for? That because this is a stalemate now with this ballot after ballot, I just
mm-hmm.
hope Republicans get so angry with each other that a fight, a physical fist fight happened on the House floor where they're beating the crap out of each other while Democrats like Pelosi and
so
Auntie Maxine Walters just sit down eating the popcorn and watching the events as they unfold, you know? Because remember Senator Sumner back in 1887, was it, during the Reconstruction
mm-hmm.
era, he
mm-hmm.
used his cane to hit the senator from Massachusetts. His name slipped me just now. Beat living crap out of him. It was like a metal walking cane.
Wow.
And even when the cane broke, he blooded up the senator from Massachusetts because Sumner was for slavery and the senator from Massachusetts was anti-slavery abolitionist. You know, it caused a floor fight on the U.S. Senate. I wish Republicans would stoop down to that because when you think Republicans can't stoop in the law, this happened. But I bet, you know, they can even stoop even lower. I'm just waiting for it to happen tomorrow, you know, because there's no bottom for these people. These people are dreadful, awful, disgusting, unpatriotic Americans who, you know, put us in this bind because, you know, the New York cons want this, the military-industrial complex wing of the party, the war hawks want this, you know, the MAGAs want this. Tea Party, lunatics, QAnon, you know, it's just never-ending cycle of, like, you know, rubbish, basically. You know,
so let's vote in Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see
well,
that.
For sure.
I mean, we all want that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and
mm-hmm.
the thing is.
Well, they did the vote. How many votes did he get today? I didn't remember.
He beat
over
Hakeem
200,
Jeffries,
but he needed 218.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries got 212 votes each time. Reason being
really?
Because that's the amount of Democrats are in the House. So all Democrats go along party lines and vote with Hakeem, 212, you know.
So
but
no,
unfortunately,
no, no Republican had balls.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
they have no testicular fortitude, no spine.
Yeah, no,
I want to bring this attention
well, you know,
to you.
Somebody needs
I want
to
bring
let
this.
Marjorie Taylor Greene know that she,
mm-hmm.
Her balls aren't there.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. She have more balls than any other men who's serving in the Republican caucus. You know, cause she look like Dog the Bounty Hunter. You know that reality show, Dog the Bounty Hunter. She resemble him so much. You know, one could
mm-hmm.
confuse Marjorie Taylor Greene, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Yeah, cause Marjorie Taylor Greene has more balls than you know Matt Gaetz or whoever it is, Chip Roy, whoever, even Donald Trump. So I want to bring your attention to this, ladies, Lori
mm-hmm.
and others. Did you know that a well-known GOP operative, his name is Jesse Benton, was recently convicted in a scheme to funnel dirty Russian money to the Trump campaign in 2016?
Mm-hmm.
If found guilty, he could serve 20 years in prison. So who's this
mm-hmm.
guy? Jesse Benton is the husband of the niece of Senator Rand Paul. And if you remember, Rand Paul was accused by John McCain in the presidential campaign of being a
mm-hmm.
Russian asset. Senator Paul was one of the hundreds of elected Republicans who visited Russia one summer on the 4th of July. I think it was 2017, was it? I'm not sure the date, the year. You know, this dude has worked. This dude, Jesse Benton, has worked also closely with Mitch McConnell and raise money for Mitch McConnell's campaign and other Republicans across the country. So why is the media
mm-hmm.
not reporting this? That's what I want to know.
Well, because
person
right
of interest.
Now they're all stuck on Congress, on the drama right now. That's why.
And
you know.
If he goes to jail for getting money from Russia for Trump, why isn't Trump going to jail? He got
yeah.
the money,
yeah,
right?
Right?
Does that mean that
money from North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That $18.6 billion from that Hong
Thank
Kong
you,
person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The main rocket launchers and what have you.
The Arab country, Saudi Arabia. And then his
$18 billion to Jared Kushner.
Son-in-law got a ton of money, too.
Yeah, $2 trillion
yep.
John Cook did that. Why?
Yeah, $2 billion to take care of it, invest it for him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, no,
manage
this guy
his
here.
Fund, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, so when Senator Paul went that summer, July 4th, to Russia, he got a letter from an aide to President Vladimir Putin to give personal to Donald Trump. What was in that letter? Seriously. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I don't think it's in the ones they got from Mar-a-Lago. Maybe it's the one that went down the toilet.
Yeah, probably. Probably. That's a good point. You know? Yeah, so, you know, after this gets dull, this voting gets dull and everything, we need to bring that up. We need to regurgitate and, you know, dig that shit up. Say, hey, media, check out this story. Where did Rand Paul go to Russia with all those other Republicans? What was in that letter from Putin to Trump, that love letter? You know, and where is that letter? We want to know. We need to know. You know?
That's why the documents went to Mar-a-Lago.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see the CIA investigate every congressperson and Trump and his clan and follow the money. You know how much dirt they can dig up on that? It's all about the money and the power. If they could follow the money and see where it goes and then hang them all, change the laws.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, it's,
so I find it very funny that Kevin McCarthy, before all this balloting went on for the past 3 days, he moved all his belongings into the Speaker's office.
Yeah.
You know, I find that damn hilarious. You know,
I know
he's a loser.
Everyone
just
wants to see him drag him out with a tail between his legs, right? Take him out
and
have him pull the cart with all the boxes out of the office.
But the thing is, McCarthy has no shame. If he had shame after the second ballot and he failed, a decent human, honorable person would have said, hey, they don't want me. I'll be a gentleman and step down. But no. He let the rest of them are power hungry.
He wants
no
the power
shame.
And money. That's all he gives a shit about.
The thing is, David, what you have to remember is that for him, he has dug in his heels. He wants this. There is a reason that he wants this that none of us really would probably ever understand. It is something very cynical. It's got to be. Because to take all those deceits to sit there and take all the even nominating Trump, give me a break. So there is something very cynical going on. There is a reason for it. I don't know what's going through McCarthy's mind and why he doesn't understand that this is just not right, you know? But the problem is, let's say McCarthy decides after 20 times, okay, I'm done. I'm going to step down. Who do the Republicans have? No one.
Because the long list of names that you did, none of them qualify. They don't have an experience. They're not seasoned. They don't have any reason power. That's the thing.
No.
But McCarthy isn't qualified. He's an idiot.
Well, he's the best of a lot of them. That's the thing.
Well, he's around, you know, there 14 years now, so he's got the most experience. I'm not saying that I'd like the guy. I'm just saying. He's got the experience. But
he's a putana, you know that.
Of course he is, absolutely. So what do they have to bring to the table? You know? Nothing. They have nothing.
Well,
why is it that a few of the moderate Republicans, why can't they go across the aisle and join with the Democrats and vote in Hakeem Jeffries? Why can't they do that? If they really care about this country, about this country, and they want to move it forward, and they're worried about the border, like I said before,
blah, blah,
and all
blah,
the other crap that they talk about,
exactly.
It's BS, okay? If there was, there has to be four. Are there four? I mean, really? We need five, right?
There were a couple that went and voted on the infrastructure bill and the chip bill to get stuff through. You would think there'd be a couple to get rid of McCarthy and get this over with.
Point. Where are they? Yes, there has to be. I mean, I find it hard to believe. Are they afraid of what? What are they afraid of? That's my...
The Koch brothers. They're afraid of the Koch brothers. They're afraid of the Koch brothers and other special interest groups. And they're afraid of Russia because Putin have them by the balls. Well, no, they don't have any balls. They have them by the throat, basically. You know? And Putin is doing his underhanded shit, you know, by giving dark money and what have you. But, you know, let's look at why these 20 people... you know, don't want to support McCarthy because they wanted McCarthy to change this, to include this rule to allow a vote at any time to oust a speaker at the door like what, you know, is being presented on the House floor.
Yeah, their way, no way.
The week in the post, you know, considerable and proposed to set the threshold of forcing such a vote at five lawmakers rather than a single one. That's one of the holdout demands. The package also includes the so-called Holman Rule, which allows lawmakers to use spending bills to fund specific programs and fire federal officials or reduce their pay. You know? You know, but McCarthy refused to accede to the number of the conditions set by these critics, like Matt Gaetz and Bo Burt and whoever. And here are some of the other demands. You know, promising to hold votes on a series of bills backed by hard right members, including legislation that would require term limits for members of Congress, a balanced federal budget, and fortifying security for the southern western border. So now, this thing about balancing the federal budget, when George Bush was in there getting trillions of dollars for the stupid war in Afghanistan, when you know, Orange Face was in there getting like a blank check basically for the shit he was doing or claiming to be doing, you know, they didn't have a problem with balanced budget. For the past 18 years, the Republicans haven't put up any numbers to say, hey, this is what we want.
That was the $1 trillion tax write-off for the corporations, 1.3 that Trump did. And they're bitching about, you know, raising Social Security. Oh, we got to cancel it because we don't have enough money. But they should raise the wages for Social Security because that, what is it, $250,000? They stopped collecting. Keep on going. There's a lot of people make a lot more than that. That's chump change for a lot of them, like Bezos. So you get more money out of them, and that will fund Social Security and Medicare. I mean, it's not, you don't have to be genius to figure that out, but
going to
do it.
Yeah, and two more points. What these 20 people want, they want you know, a pledge that the leading Republican Political Action Committee would not fund challengers in party primaries. The demand reflected anger among right-wing and conservative groups towards McCarthy for using the leadership pack aligned with him to back more mainstream candidates. So they want their crazes to run unchallenged, or, you know, if they want to challenge somebody in a primary, then, you know, they get a free pass, you know. And the last point, they want to adopt a requirement that any spending earmark receive two-thirds support of the House in order to pass. No, two-thirds? Majority rule, no two-thirds. You know, get the hell out of there with that, please. You know,
didn't McCarthy give some of those guys like $2 million?
Yes,
and then they voted against him.
Give Boebert. Give Boebert $2 million, and she won her election just by 500 votes. Call it. You know.
Okay.
So you know, she has no right to blabber mouth because in a conservative district in Colorado where she should have won hands down, she almost lost the damn race. So, you know, she have no authority to do what she's doing now. You know? It's ridiculous. Absolutely dreadful and ridiculous.
We look like Venezuela. our democracy's going to shit really fast. I'm scared.
It's trying to.
Yeah.
I'm too angry to be scared.
Oh, I'm really pissed.
I'm too angry to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, so what now? What now will happen if McCarthy can't get those 218 votes? You know, where do we go from here, man? Because,
in
the Republican caucus, who's there, who's qualified and capable of negotiating with Democrats to move America forward?
None of them. I can't think of one. None of them.
So there's no consensus
candidate?
They
don't plan
candidate.
On it either.
No potential consensus candidate, you think, in a rank-and-file membership of the Republican caucus? You know?
Just like not one of those Republicans are going to vote for the Democrats or Jeffries, none of them are going to the other way around either.
Mm-hmm,
this is where we're at. You didn't help out, we're not going to help you.
It's a stalemate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. And hopefully it won't carry on for 6 weeks, much less, God forbid, 6 months, because we'll have the budget ceiling to worry about in March. We'll have the appropriations bills in the U.S. House, and chairmen of these different committees haven't been selected yet because we haven't selected a House Speaker, you know? And
exactly.
If that happens,
they haven't been
sworn
in.
They're monitoring for those positions.
Not only that, think about this. Federal employees like the FBI, the IRS, IRS won't be able to do tax refunds. Social Security checks will go out. Medicare will be standstill. This is what will happen. Our wheels will stop turning if they have to close down the government. Part of me would like to get so close and get so many people pissed off that they march to Washington and say, enough is enough. Because it is it's enough. You know, it is
everybody
enough.
Needs to write their Republican congressperson. Tell them, get off your ass.
They don't
what's right. If enough people just swarm their email and lock it up, you know, and their telephone lines and all that stuff, if the people start bitching and let them know that they're pissed off, they're going to have to do something, or they're not going to get votes to get back in there. It still takes votes.
Yeah.
Even though they're bought and paid for, it still takes votes.
Mm-hmm. House of Representative committees. Let's go through alphabetical order. And I'm going to set a ranking member for each committee. Agriculture. There's no chairman for none of these committees. So the ranking member for the Agriculture Committee in the House is David Scott, Democrat from Georgia. Appropriations Committee, which is a very important committee in the House. Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut is a ranking Democrat on that committee. Armed Services Committee, Adam Smith, Democrat from Washington, ranking member. Budget Committee, Brendan Boyle from Pennsylvania. Climate Crisis Select Committee, nobody yet, is put in that post as a ranking Democrat. Economic Disparity and Family Fairness and Growth, the Select Committee, nobody is in there yet. Education and Labor Committee, Bobby Scott from Virginia, is a ranking member. Energy and Commerce is Frank Pallone, Democrat from New Jersey. He's in District 13, if I remember, member serve correct. Ethics Committee, Susan Weil from Pennsylvania, is a ranking Democrat. And like I said, I should put George Santos in the Ethics Committee. Let him be the chairman, because that's, you know, that's the what Republicans stand for. Financial Services Committee, Maxine Waters, Auntie Maxine, is a ranking member for the Financial Services Committee. She investigated Trump as the chairperson of that committee and got him in the bind that he's in. Foreign Affairs Committee, Gregory Meeks from New York is a ranking member. Homeland Security, Bennett Thompson, he was the January 6th committee chairman. He's a ranking member for Homeland Security. House Administration, Joe Morrell from New York. Intelligence Permanent Select Committee, nobody has been announced to be the ranking member there. But please, for the life of God, do not put Marjorie Taylor Greene, nor Lauren Boebert, nor that jackass child molester, Matt Gaetz, on the Intelligence Committee. None of them are intelligent.
Or Jim Jordan.
Judiciary. Mm-hmm.
Judiciary Committee.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, Judiciary Committee is expected to be chaired by Jim Jordan. Jerry Nadler from New York. Jerry Nadler is a ranking member from New York on that committee. Modernization of Congress, a select committee. Nobody has been announced yet. Natural Resources, the ranking member, is Raul Grivaldez from Arizona. Oversight and Reform Committee, Jamie Raskin is the ranking Democrat from Maryland on that committee. The Rules Committee, Jim McGovern from Massachusetts. And hopefully, the Rules Committee is not going to be filled up of anybody from the Freedom Caucus, because they'll just make a joke out of Congress even more.
Mm-hmm.
Science, Space, and Technology, Zoe Lofgren, Democrat from California, ranking member. She's a good person. Hello, Zoe Lofgren. I hope you're listening. Small Business, Nydia Velasquez, New York. Transport and Infrastructure, Rick Larson from Washington. Two more. Veterans Affairs, Mark Takando from California is a ranking member, and a very powerful and influential Ways and Means Committee is the ranking Democrat there is Richard Neal from Massachusetts. So, you know, and you have the Joint Select Committee, the Congressional Offices, the Senate Offices. You can call these people and tell them that you don't like what's happening in the House now, where vote after vote and it's still a stalemate and everything. What can we do? You know, how the business of government will go forward. You know, because American people fed up with it, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Communist, Socialist, whatever. Enough is enough. Let's get something, you know, let's get the House moving, man. I digress.
No. Nope. It should. It's time.
Great idea. Great idea.
You know, it is time. It's...
Oh, talk about one more shit show. You know how you have a credit card? You get points when you buy stuff. For flying or cash, you know, like Capital One.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
They want to delete those.
Yeah, I heard.
You get no points for spending your money. They want to pass the law that the credit card company can't give that to you.
I know.
Is that a crock of shit or what?
Yes, it is, because people love doing that. They, you know, they get something, you know, after paying overly inflated prices on everything, at least they get a little something back, right?
Yeah, that keeps you staying with that particular credit card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. It's disgusting.
So I don't know. They said that everybody should talk to their Congress people and tell them, no, do not change that.
Why?
I'm sure the credit card companies are thrilled not to have to do that.
What is the reasoning?
I don't know. They didn't give it. I just saw it on one of my news things. And they said, quick, go email your Congress people and tell them, no, stop it, because it's coming from Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, the bank guys are doing the nudging, so they don't have to pay anything out. They just charge you interest when you're a day late, you know?
That's weird.
Not to mention their credit card. If you have a balance, oh, my God, the interest rate you pay is ridiculous. I don't even know what it is, but it's horrible. It's like the mafia. You got a loan. You got to pay a lot back. So these perks for credit card holders, you know, I better start traveling because I got a shit ton of miles.
Right. So the U.S. Capitol switchboard, get your pens and a piece of paper. It's 202-224-3121. The telephone number for the Capitol Hill switchboard, 202-224-3121. Tell them your zip code and what congressperson is your congressperson. Or if you want to talk to a U.S. senator, for that matter, you know, just tell them what state you are. And they'll put you through to the offices of whichever senator that represents your state and everything, you know, because the senators, you know, okay, and, you know, doing the thing and everything. But the hold up really is the Republicans holding America hostage by not choosing a leader and, you know, looking for
the leadership telephone number for, let me see, Chuck Schumer. He's the leader of the Democrats in Congress, I mean in the U.S. Senate. You know, you could contact, I can't find the number. It was here just a minute ago. Just ask for him by name, you know, and tell him what a great job he's doing. Whoever he's senator is, Elizabeth Warren, she's doing a damn good job in the Finance Committee, you know, and yeah, just tell Democrats in the U.S. Senate. Oh, the number here for the U.S. Senate, 202-224-3121, U.S. Senate. Yeah, so just, you know, call up your Democratic senator and tell him or her to keep up the fantastic job that they're doing, because America needs them at this point, because Republicans are the party of no, the party of embarrassment, and they don't give a goddamn about America. So, you know, that's my two cents there.
No, they don't.
Well, half an hour left. So, Lori, what should we talk about next?
There's something that just came up on a thread, and Trump's lawyers are ordered to hand over names of individuals hired to search Trump properties for classified documents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're kidding.
Judge has asked former President Donald Trump's attorneys to turn over the names of the individuals hired to search four properties for the documents late last year. A source familiar with the...
Why would they need that?
Why would
they need that?
I don't know. I'm reading the article.
No.
Are they the FBI that looked for it, or was it somebody before?
No. These Trump's lawyers ordered to hand over names of individuals hired to search Trump properties for classified documents. They don't say who they are.
Because I know the FBI went in there looking, or the CIA or somebody.
The federal judge has asked former President Donald Trump's attorneys to turn over the names of the individuals hired to search four properties for the documents late last year, a source familiar by CNN. The names were handed over Wednesday night, two sources told CNN. It's the latest department's efforts to use the court to enforce a subpoena from May that sought to collect all classified records Trump kept in his possession after leaving the presidency. The New York Times reported the development. Trump's legal team hired two individuals to search Trump Tower in New York, the Bedminster Golf Club, an office location in Florida, and a storage unit in Florida, where ultimately two documents with classified markings were found, CNN has previously reported. These documents were handed over to the FBI. No other documents with classified markings were found during the search of the four Trump properties. The Justice Department has moved 11 sets of classified documents from Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence while executing a search warrant in August for possible violations of the Espionage Act and other crimes. And then it goes on to say, at the time, Trump's attorneys had offered to let federal investigators observe the search at his Bedminster property, but that offer was declined. Given the Justice Department's response, Trump lawyers did not make a similar offer for the search of the properties. It would be highly unusual for the Justice Department to observe searches that aren't conducted by law enforcement. I mean,
sounds like bullshit.
Is this stuff all for real? I mean, for real? Honestly and truly, you know? And the other thing is remember when Trump was supposed to go and testify, and then he was held in contempt of court? I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the federal judge, Beryl Howell, the chief of the D.C. District Court, declined to hold Trump in contempt of court and urge the Justice Department and Trump's team to work out a resolution.
No, you're not going out there.
Investigate attempt to make sure all national security records are back in the possession of the federal government. So basically, what this is telling me is that he got away with something else. I don't know what else to say.
I hope that new guy, James is his name, is on top
yeah,
of this. They said
Jack
he's
Smith.
Already, you know, he hit the floor running, and he's back in the States. He's all better now from his accident, and he's got it covered. So I hope we see
Jack
the
Smith.
Shit flying soon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, tomorrow is the anniversary of the insurrection.
God.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of the insurrection. And
oh my God.
We are nowhere near. I mean, we're closer. Don't get me wrong. And we know who the bad players are. You know, we know what happened. We know what the truth is. We know they tried to overthrow the government. We know that Trump is a traitor. But I want him arrested. I want him indicted. It's time. And his family as well.
All that implies.
Exactly.
He can't get he's not above the law, and he can't get away with it. He broke every law you could think of.
It's just ridiculous that he can still run his mouth and have you know, and try to influence people to do what he wants when he is nothing but a traitor to our country and worse.
Yeah,
feeling that something's happening behind the scenes because he's been damn quiet. You know,
I think he's
laying low because the shit's going to hit the fan shortly. I really do believe that.
I hope so.
Well, we've been hearing that for the past 18
months. Any idea what you think it is?
I have to sit out to believe that, really. For real.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that for 18 months, and not a damn thing happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's bring this to a conclusion, though. So, as a compromise candidate, as stated by the House rules, that anybody can be a House Speaker. They don't necessarily have to be a member of the House. The only logical person I can think of is Liz Cheney. Yeah, she's a conservative, and her father is... Lucifer in the flesh,
Madman.
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Republicans drink up the line.
At least.
Yeah. You know, you can go down the line. There's nobody qualified in the current Republican caucus that is suitable for the job. I have a temperament for the job, other than Liz Cheney, but, of course, that not really happened because we had a boot with her in the leadership, the Republican House Conference as chair. And Kevin McCarthy did that. He caused that. You know, Stefanik, whatever Stefanik's your name. I think, where's she from? Michigan? Not sure. But, you know, she was so anti-Trump. And then she just switched to being a pro-Trump. It just, these people who think that way, I can't understand how, you know, you can, you know, be a moderate person, well-thinking person. I guess it's the money. The money, you know, entice them so much. You know, that's a switch from being a moderate.
I probably think that she would have all kinds of hard time with those people because they think she, you know, betrayed them because she was on the committee. They'll give her all kinds of shit. Even though she's qualified, probably could do a good job, they won't do anything that she would ask.
No, they won't because of because
they'll give her all kinds of shit.
She was on that January 6th panel.
Yeah, they wouldn't even let her get reelected.
And that, absolutely. So no, nothing good will come out of it.
No, it would be bad for her, and she doesn't deserve it.
And the person who replaced her, the person who replaced her, her name is Elise Stefanik, and she is from New York's 21st Congressional District. Since 2015,
And she replaced her since 2021. She's a third-ranking House Republican. Yeah,
really?
So, you know, she moved from, like, a Rockefeller moderate Republican to a Trump or a MAGA. Yeah, I guess the money is too sweet to ignore. You know, you just sell out your whole, you know, pride and your soul supporting
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump. Yeah, that's pretty disgusting. Really, it is. But anyway, we'll have a couple minutes left. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Susie, Madeline,
Madeline,
from Ohio.
You're welcome. David, Laurie, Susie, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Have
a good night, guys.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, how can I wrap this up more, Lori? What do you think? Where will we go from here? Because tomorrow at 12 noon, it's going to start again, and it's going to be the same shit show.
Basically, yes. I don't see anything changing unless a few Republicans, you know, that are a little more on the moderate side, you know, sleep
mm-hmm.
on it tonight and think, you know what? We can't let a few radicals, far right nut jobs try to
mm-hmm.
destroy in our institutions that we have and the things that we have
mm-hmm.
in place. That is the only thing
mm-hmm.
that I can think of, or else I don't see what else. I don't see any other solution because no one's moving. I mean, the Democrats are not going to vote for him. And
mm-hmm.
why should they? We have our own,
mm-hmm.
you know, great candidates that we could, you know, speaker, I should say, that we could have as speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find it, don't know what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
tomorrow. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
What do you
think? I know what's going to happen tomorrow. The same thing we go through where the vote
right.
over and over and nothing will come to fruition
yeah.
because these 20 people are holding America hostage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to compromise. They're from the freedom. And dumb, freedom is spelled F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B, freedom, you know, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're just beholden to the Koch brothers and big special interests like Big Pharma
mm-hmm.
and whomever else. They don't care
mm-hmm.
about America. They care about lining their pockets and having power. And I want to
yeah,
get their person from the Freedom Caucus in
yeah.
there. And under more circumstances than Matt Gaetz, you know, I mean,
yeah.
he's like a mockery of the whole process by selecting Donald Trump to be speaker. And it shows volumes that Trump just got
yeah.
one vote, one
mm-hmm.
single vote. So his power
yeah.
has probably come to an end in the Republican
mm-hmm.
party's power and influence. You know, the thing we have to worry about is Ron DeSantis, you know, who
yeah.
is in Florida, you know, like, doing really bad things. You know, he's
mm-hmm.
dangerous. He is maniacal. He's probably worse. No, not probably. He's worse than Trump. A little bit more
yeah.
educated, Harvard graduate, lawyer, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
He's better spoken than Trump, but he's more dangerous, far more dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the man we should look out for, you know, and see what he's up to and everything. For sure,
yeah.
he's running for the Republican nomination in 2024. And he is part of the Freedom Caucus. He's one of the founding members.
Mm-hmm.
So America needs
mm-hmm.
to keep an eye on Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of power and influence in the Republican Party now. And
yeah.
I'm just, you know, hoping that a fight will break out between the Republicans that can make up their mind on who do they vote for, you know, because
mm-hmm.
five of them are definitely not for Kevin McCarthy. You
know,
so it's going to be a stalemate, and it's going to go on and on and on and on, and hopefully it will last 6 months, because we have other different things to worry about, appropriation
Absolutely.
Bills,
you know
the cap on.
Yeah, I mean, this is how they're kind of, you know, cutting their noses off to spite their faces, because the longer
mm-hmm.
this goes on, the more that people are going to realize how deranged they all are, and
mm-hmm.
say, what the heck do we have running our country? What's going on here? And they will be upset about it. And so the more it goes on, the more it uncovers the real Republican Party. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wanted to talk about one more thing. And it, go ahead. Finish your comment.
No, I just repeat. I just repeat what Einstein said. The very definition of craziness is doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. If anybody close to Kevin McCarthy or if Kevin McCarthy, by some, you know, weird, you know, luck, he's listening to the show, step down. They're not going to choose you. They hate your guts. They don't like you. Your own Republicans do not like you. So just do the right thing, you know, and step down. It's embarrassing. Get some dignity. Grow up here. You know, have a smile for once in your life.
Yep, very embarrassing. You know, it really is. Yesterday, when all this, you know, all the circus was going on in, you know, D.C. there, President Biden and Mitch McConnell, President Biden went to Kentucky for an event, and both of them showed that they could be friends or work together. They crossed party lines, and they showed America that, you know, things can get done. And I was happy to see that. I dislike Mitch McConnell. Don't ever think that I'd like Mitch McConnell. Biden tried to put in an example. Maybe he did it on purpose. It showed that, you know, they've been old. They've worked together for many, many years. And they found something, a common ground, and they are going to work together, you know, get this bridge built. And I thought that that was something very historic yesterday and noteworthy as well. This is what President Biden said. We disagree on a lot of things, but here's what matters. He's a man of his word, Biden said. It sends an important message to the entire country. We can work together. We can get things done. We can move the nation forward if we just drop a little bit of our egos and focus on what is needed in the country. Biden and McConnell, who are both 80, visited the Kentucky side of the Brent Fence in Cincinnati, Ohio, to tout how funds from the $1 trillion infrastructure law the past Congress with a bipartisan support will be used to repair the congested crop. So, I mean, that within itself is noteworthy. You know, and if anyone was paying attention, that's something to be proud of, because here, you know, two foes are basically, you know, going to work together, you know, to construct this bridge. And, you know, this spending project is huge. It's going to, you know, they're going to have jobs come out of it and, you know, good wages. And it's good for the country. It's good for Kentucky, you know. And so.
But look on the flip side of that. I don't mean to cut you off, but Mitch McConnell has worked with Donald Trump and put up his foolishness the 4 years he was in there. Yes. He didn't stand to Donald Trump one time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just political survival for him.
I agree with you. But I do agree with you. Like I said in the beginning, I do not like him. I don't trust him. But all I'm saying is that he decided to do something for whatever reason. It could be political, and it probably is political because he's really not very liked at this point. At least something positive will come out of it. You know, they'll get a bridge. And they'll get jobs, you know, for Kentucky. And that's the positive part of it. So, you know, I guess we have to look at things like that as well. You know, and that's part of President Biden's whole strategy is to try to mend fences and work together and, you know, bipartisanship and cross the aisle. That's what he's been trying to do all along. And if you're paying attention, that's, you know, he has done that. But like I said, what we have going on right now is a circus. It's a sham. It's a shame. And, you know, tomorrow's another day, but I don't see anything different happening tomorrow. I really
can't. No. Yeah.
You know.
Like I said, like someone that Massachusetts Senator back in 1887, when there was the Reconstruction era, and Sumner beat the living crap out of him. I hope the Republicans do that to each other tomorrow physically. Got to seem to get off on physical violence and everything. You know,
yeah,
so it was
do.
Quite entertaining. Well, you know, Auntie Maxine Waters and whichever Democrat is there just sit back and watch them destroy themselves. You know, I love a Republican fight when they fight against each other. It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
But the country suffer, and I really don't care about the country. So
the country is, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, when they come up with these outlandish speeches and they talk about how bad the economy is and how bad inflation is and, you know, and it's all Biden's fault. No, it's not. It is not Biden's fault. It truly is not. And they say that over and over again, and it just makes my blood boil, you know, because the economy is not horribly. It really isn't. Every bar and restaurant in my area is full all the time. The malls are full. People are stopping. People are still living. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why they can't work together. It's disgusting.
Yeah, Con, there's nobody to blame. When Trump was in there, it wasn't his fault. It was all his Democrats' fault. But anyway, we thank everybody for calling in and tuning in and listening tonight and sharing across social media. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're working hard to get that website up and everything. And we thank everyone for calling in tonight and sharing their views. Your views are very important. Disappointed that Pianke nor any other Republican or conservative called in, because I'd really love to pick the brains on what Republicans are thinking in the House of Representatives. At least 20 people that selfish that, you know, they want to, you know, rhetorical question. They are selfish. All right. So this has been our episode tonight. Elect Republican clowns to the House majority. Expect a damn circus. It's been January 5th, 2023. And remember, it's 2 years tomorrow when the January 6th insurrection happened. Until next time, same place next Monday, we'll have a special guest, Cynthia A. Johnson. We'll see you then and there. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. Lori Picka in Michigan. Have a safe evening. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.